Oh, yes, that music to my ears. Love that song. Love Unlimited Orchestra. So how are you guys today? I'm feeling pretty good here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The weather is just incredible. You know, I've been getting up early recently, and I go outside in the mornings, and it's foggy. And for some reason, the grass this year is just, it's still green. Now, get this, we are in mid-November, and our grass is green. And it's not just green, it's a pretty green. I mean, it really looks good. And then you got all these fall leaves laying on it, you know, in the nice colors, the reds, the yellows, the some green and browns and different hues. And, wow, it just, you know, so when I walked out, I think it was Monday morning after the weekend, I got out there, and I just started praising God just for the moment. You know, I just said, you know, Lord, a lot of people will miss this moment, and I would normally miss it, but for some reason this morning, this feels really good. You could just stop time right now, and I could just stay here because I just felt good. That little bit of fog layer and then the way the grass and the leaves looked, it was awesome. It was really nice. So anyway, but the weather's not cold. It's just cool, a little bit of a chill in the air, but not cold. And, you know, the sun comes out during the day and burns off that fog. So, yeah, like I said, wow, it's just a beautiful time of year in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you've never been here, get down here. This is the state you want to live, especially in the next few years. Once Obamacare and stuff starts really kicking in, you're going to want to live in the free state of Oklahoma, the old freedman's territory. Well, let's see. What can we talk about today? There's a whole lot of stuff, but I'm going to start with some local stuff, Tulsa stuff. And I'll tell you why. Because it really affects the national scene. You know, last week we had the New York 23 election of the temporary congressional seat. And then we had the two gubernatorial races in New Jersey and in Virginia. And a couple of other things going on. But people were trying to extrapolate some things from those races. Well, I am on this chat list. There's a list of people, you know, we chat. And there are some pundits, some black conservatives. One particular, he considers himself a pundit. He has a little, I don't know, TV show, I guess, and radio thing going. And he and several other black conservatives have begun basically saying that the right wing of the party is going to destroy the party, and we can't go that way. We have to get away from them, and they're going to be the death of the party and all of that. And I know better. I mean, I let them talk. I do deal with them. But I have to just say, these guys really, seriously, are wrong. I mean, they're just plain wrong. And I think it's been proven. It's going to be proven again. But I'll give you an example here in Tulsa. What happened? We just had our election. And on the Republican side, we had, I think we had 12. Wendell, was it 12 people we had running? Yeah, we had 12 contestants or candidates. Felt more like contestants when you have that many of them. But anyway, we had 12 candidates running for the Republican nomination. And the guy that ended up winning it out of that group, he is considered a moderate. And some people were calling him a rhino. And, you know, I'm all for calling something that is, but when, you know, you've got to have facts behind the thing. So I decided, well, you know, I'm not just, because I really did not know the man. I did not know the man that well. His name is Dewey Bartlett, the new mayor of Tulsa, Oklahoma, by the way, as of yesterday evening, a mayor-elect at this point, but he will be the new mayor. And so I said, I've got to check this stuff out. So I, you know, talked to some people, and then lo and behold, out of the blue, I get an email from him. This is many months ago. And said he wanted to talk to me. So, you know, I sent him my numbers. Next thing I know, I'm on my way to Atlanta, Georgia, driving. I took a little road trip to go on a little trip with my family. And he calls. So here I am, you know, in the middle of a 12-hour drive. and I get stuck in traffic, and there he and I doing our talking. And so, you know, I was just great. I started asking him, what do you feel about this? What do you feel about this? What do you feel about this? And he sat there and just answered my questions. And I thought, you know, first of all, I'm a nobody, really. I'm a nobody, you know, and I'm just amazed that the guy took time to call me. I mean, I'm shocked, you know. And then the next thing you know, he's answering these questions. I mean, he could have told me where to go. In any event, I then, being who I am, never shy about giving my opinion, I told him what I thought he needs to do. And I told him I think he needs to embrace the right. And listen, I'm not going to say he's a real ultra conservative or as much of an evangelical conservative as I am and a lot of people that I hang with and support are. But at the same time, I basically said, look, here's what I suggest. Meet with the conservatives, find out what are the important issues, answer their questions just like you're doing here, and you guys, you know, come to an agreement on what you can agree on. Well, the man did it. I mean, I'm not taking credit. Because I suspect he got the advice from others and so forth. But to his credit, he did. And the state party and the local party in Tulsa, which is Oklahoma, I don't know if you know it, it's the only state in the union where every county voted for McCain. Every county was red and not blue. That's right. Every county in the state of Oklahoma went Republican in this last presidential election when the rest of the country went the other way or wavered somewhat. So anyway, so he did this and they put out a statement outlining every issue and his responses. And yet it wasn't enough for some. In fact, the Democratic candidate was sending out these flyers every day questioning this man's conservatism. And I find that kind of funny. They were spending more time sending out flyers about why he's the wrong kind of conservative than they were about their guy being the right kind of liberal. And that's what I really find that kind of hilarious, because the Democratic candidate had a 5% approval rating on conservative issues. He was at 5%. So, and he was questioning this guy's credentials, who was probably at, I don't know, 70% or something, you know, which is low by pure conservative standards. But the point I'm trying to make is this. You've got a lot of these progressive conservatives. I don't know what they want to call themselves. I call them wine and cheese conservatives. And these are fiscal conservatives. They do not like evangelicals. They do not like the upfront, overt proclamation that there is one God and the sole authority in the universe derives from that God. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. And I don't care how they couch it, what excuses they use. That's why they don't like Sarah Palin. That's why they don't like, they didn't like Jerry Falwell. They don't like a lot of the leadership. They didn't really like Newt Gingrich. And for some reason, they bought into this idea that, a notion that a conservative evangelical Christian is a racist. They basically bought into the lie that the Democrats have and liberals have tried to foster on America. And that's a big problem when you've got Republicans who are de facto the conservative party in America. And they're trying to take the conservative party to becoming something other. Now, they in their minds, conservative means low taxes, lack of government involvement in this, this, and this. But at the same time, they want the government to basically do social engineering. They want them involved socially and compassionately in underprivileged communities. Okay? So on the one hand, they're talking out of two sides of their mouth. These people are generally anti-war. They hated Rumsfeld and didn't like certain aspects of Bush over the last 8 years that he was president. So anyway, what I get out of this whole election here is that the man who may be more moderate, but at the same time, he understands that the conservative values are very, very important. And those are the voters that are going to come out and either make you or break you. And that needs to be understood nationally, people. Nationally, we have to understand that this party is going to be made or destroyed by evangelical conservatives. Now, if you don't like it, I can't help you. I cannot help you any more than I can cause you to understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose, and loves you, and waits for you to come and embrace that, to be forgiven, and to enjoy the fullness of his blessing and love. Now, I can say that all day, but if you don't understand it and if you don't want it, I can't help you, okay? It's the same as me trying to tell you that the national foundation of the United States of America is based on a Judeo-Christian ethic, okay? You don't have to buy into the thing of, you know, Jesus died and rose and all of that. I wish you would, but you don't have to. But you do have to understand that the thing that made this nation great is those who believe that, okay? Now, when you try to kick them to the curb, you're done. Stick a fork in yourself. You are done. Because the other side, they already vehemently oppose that. And you're just joining them, and you're making their work much, much easier. So that's what I get out of this election, and I'm just calling out to those of you that think that somehow rejecting the right and the conservative wing of the Republican Party is death to the party. I'm just challenging you. Rethink it, because you're going to see next year. Next year, we're going to see. I guarantee you that next year, the most conservative candidates will win. The moderates, the ones who run away from it, are going to lose. Okay? Mark it down. Okay? 11-11-09 is when I'm making this statement. 11-11-09 and 11, what it'll be, probably by 11-9 of next year, we'll know. Okay? So mark these words, save this show, and we will revisit it in a year. Enough said about that. Now, last week, tragically, at Fort Hood, Texas, right in the heart of the state of Texas, I've been to Fort Hood, hated every minute that I was there. I was there for like about 3 or 4 days, stifling heat. It's right in the middle of Texas, right in the heart, right near Austin, and actually not far from Crawford Ranch, where President Bush is. President Bush actually frequent there and has, and he actually went quietly to visit the families of those who lost loved ones. There was no hoopla, no fanfare, but he did go because, not because it was his job or his duty, but because they're his neighbors and his family, and he has that much love and respect for them. But what concerns me about this whole thing, there's a couple of things, and it brings me back to a point that I have made at different times over the years. Back in 1987. I think it was 1987 or 88, one of the two. I had been a missionary overseas. I think it was, actually it was 1987. We had been missionaries overseas already for about 5 years. And I got to see things from a different perspective. In fact, when I went over, I was a Democrat. When I left and became a missionary, I was a Democrat. I came back a Republican because I got to see America from a whole different point of view. And I remember some one day, God just gave me this revelation about the three major threats to the United States and our Judeo-Christian foundation. And those three threats are Islam, secular humanism, and syncretistic New Age religion. Okay, now, you guys probably understand what the first two are. The last one, when I get to it, I'll explain to it. But Islam, let's start with that, okay? The first thing we have to do and understand with regard to Islam is that there are no good Muslims and bad Muslims, okay? For some reason, when you turn on the news, Chris Matthews and the second tier of or third tier of people, your Uberman, Keith Ubermensch, as I like to call him, Oberman and Rachel Madcow, those guys, for some reason, are continually trying to downplay anything that would make Islam appear in a bad light. And so, in fact, I had a guy, and this is a real staunch conservative, black conservative, a Republican, kind of a leader in Republican politics in Los Angeles. And on my Facebook page, I said something about Islam. I was attacking Islam. And he says, "Oh, Eddie, you have to be careful. You need to differentiate between radical Islam and Islam." And I said, "No, I don't. Do you know what the difference in a radical Muslim and a regular Muslim is? It's the difference between an evangelical Christian and a Unitarian. That's the difference. That's all it is." And for those of you that don't know what a Unitarian is, Unitarian basically doesn't believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God and the only way. And all, they believe basically that all roads lead to the same path. Okay, that's a Unitarian. So what these people want to consider a Muslim, not a radical Muslim, is about the same as a Unitarian, or basically a wishy-washy Christian, a Christian that halfway believes, an apostate almost, you know, or a worldly Christian, if you will. And a radical Muslim is a Muslim that actually believes and lives by the Quran. So that's the distinction. And so basically what these people are almost trying to do, they're almost trying, I think in their minds secretly somehow, they're quietly trying to convince all of these Muslims in America to don't be like those guys. You be our kind of Muslim. You be good Muslim. You be a good Muslim. It's kind of like, don't be like those people. Be a good nigger. Be a good nigger. You don't want to be like those bad niggers over there. And that's kind of what they're saying. So that's one aspect of it, that they basically are wanting these people to be something that they are not. Okay? How did Muhammad get to be who he was? How did Islam get to rise to the place where it did? Through conquest. Basically killing everybody who didn't believe. Now, Christianity started almost the exact opposite, the polar opposite. Christianity became what it was because people kept trying to kill them, and somehow it kept growing. The more you killed, the more they were like weeds. You know? Christians were like weeds. They tried to kill them. You've heard the saying that, and I can't remember who said it, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, that as you kill believers, the faith grows. Whereas Islam is exactly the opposite. They want to kill everybody else. Now, I'm not overlooking the fact that you had popes and kings and people that were warped and were in it for themselves, but that has nothing to do with Christianity. That has to do with what's called the church. It has to do with religion, but that doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. Go back and read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Malcolm X, I remember this jumped out at me so strongly, where he was in prison debating theology students from Yale. I'm sorry, from Harvard, and because he lived up in the Boston area, and so he was in prison and he became educated on Islam, and so he started debating. But the interesting thing that jumped out at me was that he said the problem with Christianity is that the followers have never lived up to the teachings of its founder. And that those are true words. I can say amen, Malcolm. Okay? I agree wholeheartedly with what Malcolm X said there. So I'm not trying to whitewash or cover up what Christians have failed to do, because we are human, okay? But what I'm saying, at its core, the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of the apostles, the faith of the saints, is not to kill, to destroy. It's to deliver and to save and to lift up and to build. And that's the difference. Where it is with Islam, it is to destroy, it is to kill, and it's to disrupt. It's a religion of bitterness and hatred, and it has nothing to do with God. So now, if you are a true Muslim, then you have to believe that there is no other way, and you have to follow the tenets of that faith, which include jihad, killing the infidel. I mean, that's just how it is. I'm not trying to, you know, I wish I didn't have this big nose. It's just the way it is. I have to live with it. I accept it, and I make the best of it. So, you know, And listen, don't listen to this garbage these people in the mainstream media are trying to feed you about how, oh, it's a peaceful religion. Even President Bush, I said, come on, W. Come, don't give me, it's a peaceful religion and there are good Muslims. Yeah, there are good Muslims. But as I said, they're nominal Muslims. They are Unitarians. They like to be, you know, considered Muslim and all that. I guarantee you. And then there's the other group that pretend to be the good kind, and they're secretly plotting. Okay? That's the other thing. I mean, think about it. What Christian denomination, group, or organization do you know? I'm talking about true, right-on, Bible-believing group of Christians is there that's plotting to kill themselves and take everyone they can with them. There are none, okay? I'll answer that for you. There are none. Now, you got this identity group, bunch of bigoted white racists out there that want to call themselves Christian. There's nothing Christian about that. Come on, give it up, okay? You know, that's like me calling myself rich. You know, I mean, I may want to be rich. I can go out and buy clothes and drive a big car and be up to my eyeballs in debt, and it won't make me rich. Well, that's like these people pretending to be Christian when they're not. They spout the words, but like Jesus said, their hearts are far from him. And when they show up on that day of judgment, he'll say, I never knew you. So that's a different. So we've got to get over this myth of good Muslims and bad Muslims, radicalized Muslims, non-radicalized Muslims. If it's a true Muslim, he's radical, or he should be, according to his faith, okay? I'm gonna keep on this thread on the other side. You're listening to Fresh Black Coffee with Eddie Huff on Truth in Focus Radio Network. I'm sure you've heard that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But why then, since 1960, have African Americans rejected any Republican running for office and elected Democratic Party officials to run their communities? Did you know that the cities with the highest crime, teenage pregnancy and poverty rates, as well as the lowest high school graduation rates, are all run by Democratic officials, from the mayors down to the city councils? Now, I know what you're thinking. This is just some Republican trick perpetrated by some racist Republican group. No, just some free-thinking black folks who have decided that the insanity must stop. We're not telling you to vote Republican. We're just telling you to stop and think before you vote for another Democrat that promises you the same thing and gives you what you've gotten for the past 50 years. Just think about it. For more information, check out newblackthought.blogspot.com. That's newblackthought.blogspot.com.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
This is my brand new day starting now, letting go of the ways that I fall down.
The old can be made new, the lost can be found,
the lost will be found. And this is my prayer without ceasing, the negative releasing. And as I rise above, my burden is easy.
I bring the pure flow like water around. The rocks of life won't pull me down. I bring the pure flow, drink so deep. The river of life, my soul at ease. I bring the pure flow like water around. The rocks of life won't pull me down. I bring the pure flow, rising above the storms of life to live and love. My soul is at ease, now I am free. My soul is at ease, now I am free.
This is my day.
My soul is at ease, now I am free.
All right, trying to give you some of that pure flow. Eddie Huff, Fresh Black Coffee on the Truth in Focus Radio Network, sitting in with my producer, Wendell Neal. All right, what I want you to do, I encourage you to do, is go out, go on Amazon, or wherever you can find it. I think I've found things to be cheapest on Amazon. You know, you get that new or used from a nickel or something, you know, 5 cents on books, you know. It costs you $3.50 to get it shipped, or $5, but it's only a nickel for the book. But anyway, anytime you can find a good book for a nickel, buy a few hundred, because then the shipping is free. Anyway, just a little extra tip there. That's for free this afternoon. Hey, what I was saying though, on Amazon, find this book. It's called God's War on Terror by Waleed Shabbat. Waleed Shabbat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T, Waleed. Anyway, and Waleed was a former Palestinian terrorist who got saved. And he is in there. He exposes a lot of this stuff, how Muslims laugh. They laugh at us because we're so naive and easily, you know, duped. You know, I have to tell you a personal story. This is pretty interesting. As you know, I mentioned a little earlier, we worked as missionaries, and I lived in Europe. I lived in Amsterdam and then in Germany. And I remember one day I picked up some hitchhikers, And there were some Moroccan kids, and because Moroccans, a lot of Moroccans live in Holland, particularly in Amsterdam. And so I picked up this guy, and he saw that I was black, and so, you know, he figured, you know, he could speak freely in front of me or so. And so he starts telling me this about that he goes to this, Dutch schools, and what fools they are. They try to teach them about Jesus and God. But he told me about how much we hate them. We hate them, and we're just waiting for the day that we'll show them. And we reject all of that. You know, Allah is God, and da da da. And he was, I mean, you just could feel. And I was just sitting there shocked. I'm just sitting, you know, and the guys, I'm going, you know, but I could tell. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy is a terrorist today, because he was pretty. I mean, it was bad. I mean, he was just going off. But he was telling me that they were going to these European schools, in this case, in Amsterdam, and just sitting there in class, listening to all this, but internally just plotting the destruction of all of these Dutch people. And I thought, wow, man. You know, and it's funny, because I didn't realize the gravity or that just, I guess 20 years later now, because this would have been in the mid-80s, the gravity of this situation that all of a sudden all of that has come to pass. Because that guy, he was probably 15 or 16 at the time, I would say. And now that same guy is in his 30s, you know, probably pushing 40, and might be high up in the whole terror hierarchy. So it's just one of these situations that we really, really need to wake up, people. We need to wake up that these enemies of God are the enemies of humanity, okay? They're not just the enemies of the Christian God. They're not just the enemy of God, period. They're the enemies of humanity, because eventually you secular humanists, who I'm going to get to here in a second, they will get to you. Okay, right now they've got to destroy and try to get rid of Christianity and Judaism, because those hold people to a whole higher and different standard, okay? So get that out of your mind, that there are good Muslims and bad Muslims. There are only Muslims, and the degrees really don't matter, okay? Now, am I saying we have to kick all Muslims out, we have to destroy Muslims? No. But we have to keep an eye on them, okay? You know, I'll give you a perfect example, okay? Pit bulls get a bad rap, okay? I'm sure there are some good pit bulls out there. But, you know, you cannot go a month without hearing a pit bull story, how a pit bull attacked some child, killed some child, or attacked some grown-ups, you know, killed someone's dog. There's something just in the nature of that dog that, unless it's totally bred or treated a certain way or whatever it is, I don't know what it is, that dog is going to be a bad dog, okay? So it's kind of like that, I believe, with the faith of Islam. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to put them down, we're not going to kill them, we're not going to get rid of them, but we have to let them know that this is not acceptable. When you kill people on our soil, we're going to challenge your faith. And when you tie it to your faith, you know, imagine if he had gone in. Oh, you know, a better example, the guy who killed Dr. Tiller up in Wichita, okay? He's a crazy fanatical Christian. And, you know, all of these conservative pro-life Christians should be stopped. We've got hate crime legislation going, trying to stop people like this from bombing clinics. I don't hear the hate crime group and crowd yelling about this guy here at Fort Hood. Where are they? They ought to try him for a hate crime. Because he hates Christians and Americans. Okay? Now, I'm going to move to the second group. Remember I told you that there's three distinct groups that are working together to tear down the foundation of this nation. The next group is secular humanists. Secular humanists don't believe in God, period. They want to cast off the shackles of God totally. And what they've done, they basically don't care who you are. They will support you and work with you if you're against the Judeo-Christian ethic, okay? So secular humanists, which would be your Chris Matthews, your Keith Obermans, and your Rachel Madcows, it would be those people that are in cahoots with the others to try to tear it down because they are gambling. It's like they're making a bet, and their bet is this, that we will let Islam destroy the Judeo-Christian foundation of America, and then we will deal with them later. Yeah, right. Reminds me of Bill Cosby's routine on Noah. Yeah, right. Now, you think that if Islam is strong enough to destroy Christianity and Judaism and subvert it, you think you, with your little secular humanist thinking, is going to control that? That's like that the guy that was hanging out with the bears. You know, he became buddies with the bears, and he just loved the bears, and the bears loved him until they got hungry. And then bears became bears, and they ate him. Okay? That's what it is like for secular humanists to be sleeping with Islamists. They're just waiting till Islam gets hungry, and they will eat them. So this is silly stuff, people. But the third group is your New Age syncretists. Okay, syncretism is a mixing of faith. It's a little here, a little there. It's kind of like I said, it's Unitarians. Unitarians are syncretists. All roads lead to the same path, and it's a New Age. We can embrace mysticism and mix it with little love and tolerance, and that's the faith of the universal God. Yeah, right. So these people are the ones who are willing to say, oh, just give our Islamic brothers, our Muslim brothers a chance. Just give them a chance. Just love them into the kingdom. Just love these secular humanists. Just we don't care. It's not important for us what we believe. We don't need God on the dollar. We don't need God in our Pledge of Allegiance. We don't need God here because he lives in our hearts. After all, God is all and all is God. Yeah, man, I could just keep going. This is fun, all that garbage. You know, and so you've got these three that are one in attacking the true faith of Christianity and Judaism. And I don't make any apologies. I don't believe that Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism can coexist. They are mutually exclusive. When Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, and Buddha says, all roads lead to the same path. Wait a minute, there's something wrong there. Okay? Jesus said there's one path. Buddha said there are many paths. Islam says there's one path, but it's not Jesus. Now, somebody's lying, okay? Somebody's not telling the truth. So for me to try to sit there and say, oh, we just all have a glimpse of the same truth. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but your glimpse, you're being blocked by you're the guy that has that seat way out in the back behind a pole. Because you're not seeing it, you know. So, but now, I gave a speech at the 9/12 rally here, and this was a part of my message. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, he had made a big mistake. He had made an alliance with King Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And he escaped with his life. Ahab did not escape, but Jehoshaphat got away because God liked him. You know, Jehoshaphat is like many of us. You know, we blow it, but thank goodness God loves us. He likes us. And so God spared Jehoshaphat. But these three armies, Edom, Moab, and Ammon. They came against Judah, the southern kingdom. And these three kingdoms aligned themselves against God's people. So what Jehoshaphat did, he realized we're in trouble. And he realized he had stepped in it. He had messed up big time. So what did he do? He not only decided to pray and fast, he decided as king, I'm going to make everybody's going to get in on this. So the whole nation fasted and prayed, including the children. And they stood before God, and then Jehoshaphat cried out. He confessed the sins. And then the most important thing he did, he said these words. He says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Okay? That's where it's always got to start. When you're in trouble, admit you don't know what to do. Stop digging. Our eyes are upon you, and just wait on God. And that's what they did. And God responded. Now, here's why I said it. There were three armies, Edom, Moab, the armies from Edom, Moab, and from the Ammonites and the Moabites and Edomites. Anyway, and these guys are all coming against them. And so God spoke. And God told them to send the army out, but put the singers out front, the worshipers. So the worshipers went ahead, and as they went out and worshiped, the three other armies basically turned on each other, and they destroyed each other. And the army of Judah did not have to fight at all. And all they had to do, when they came over the hill, they looked, and the valley was strewn with dead bodies. These guys had killed themselves, and the rest of them fled. God had sent derision, as it says in the word, among the camp, and they started suspecting each other. Now, just like at that time, we are facing these three armies: Islam, secular humanism, and New Age syncretism. And these three are in collusion with each other. They're supporting each other under the impression that if we get rid of Christianity and Judaism, then we'll sort the rest out later. Well, I'm not going to stand here and wait for that to happen. I believe God. And so there's a twofold response to this. The first is doing your spiritual warfare. Prayer, worship, praise. But it can't just be that. We've got to send the army. We have got to fight it through our words, our actions, politically, socially, however we can. We have got to fight this and be ready to go out and fight it. And I believe that as we do the spiritual warfare, God is going to do the same thing. You'll start seeing Islam tear apart the secular humanists and the New Age syncretists. You'll see the secularists go after Islam. You'll see them going after the New Agers and vice versa. They will turn on each other and they will destroy each other. And that is what I'm waiting for. I'm looking for that to happen. But it's going to take you and me, people. We have got to believe. We've got to stand up. We've got to worship. We've got to praise. And one of these days I'll get into my teaching again on the spiritual warfare and how important that is and how you do it. But as we do it, I think you're going to see things happen. You're going to see kingdoms of man crumble. You're going to see these things start falling apart. You're going to see these people starting attacking each other, and it's going to be fun to watch. And that's how we restore it, okay? So I'm going to wrap that portion of the program up on that note. So just hang in there and just understand what's really going on. Don't despair, but be ready to fight. Fight that spiritual fight and do whatever it takes politically and actively to get involved in turning back the tide and the darkness, okay? A couple other things I want to discuss today in our final segment here. Excuse me. The Berlin Wall came down 20 years ago. Can you believe it? Wow. 1989. It's already been 20 years. And I was there. I was actually there in Germany. I have still some pieces of the wall that I got when I was in Berlin shortly thereafter. And I saw the wall, and then I saw it after the wall. And there's a lot that can be discussed there. But on Monday, they celebrated the 20th anniversary in Deutschland. And our president didn't think that it was worthy of him going. But I really don't think he's the guy that should have gone anyway. And they sent Hillary Clinton instead, and I know Hillary shouldn't have been the one to represent us. But here's what got me. Let me read this. This is a little, just a little chunk from the article. Representatives from the East and West were on hand, from former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, Polish labor leader and later president Lech Walesa, to current Russian president Dmitry Medvedev, French president Nicolas Sarkozy, and British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Can you guess? Well, that's what I'm here for. The single person that was most responsible for seeing that wall come down was Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan. And his vice president, who was the president at the time that the wall actually came down, George H.W. Bush. Now, for some reason, neither of these two gentlemen were present. Of course, obviously, Ronald Reagan couldn't be present, but he should have been honored. They should have had giant banners with Reagan's image on them. They should have had lapel pins they passed out to everybody there. And they should have pinned one right on Mikhail Gorbachev. Gorbachev is seen as the hero of bringing down the Berlin Wall. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? After Reagan made the famous speech, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," and you're going to honor Gorbachev and let him be the big guy making the speech? Come on. They got Lech Walesa there from Poland. I didn't hear him mention Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul II was as much or more responsible, being the Polish Pope, coming, making those visits, firing up the people, supporting Walesa. And then you got Sarkozy, Angela Merkel, and Gordon Brown sitting there speaking and showcasing and oh my goodness, honest, I'm becoming ill just thinking about it. These people aren't fit to be on the same stage with Ronald Reagan. They're midgets compared to the personality of Ronald Reagan. I tell you, I suspect that Barack Obama wasn't there because he would have had to either bring up the fact that Ronald Reagan is the man that's responsible for this, or not bring it up and have himself grilled when he returns for not mentioning it. So in one sense, I believe he did the right thing for his own political career, which is really what it's all about anyway, isn't it? His own political career. It was the right move in that way, but I think he did a great, great disservice to America and to the event, as did all of them. They should all be ashamed of themselves. And the mainstream media, all the media, should be ashamed of themselves for not pointing out the fact that Ronald Reagan, he couldn't be there. He should have been there in image. They should have had posters, flyers, brochures, buttons. They should have had all kinds of Ronald Reagan memorabilia. And they should have had George H.W. Bush, President of the United States in 1989, who continued the policies of Ronald Reagan. They should have had him there representing the United States of America and the event on September 9th of 1989. So, anyway, I'm getting fired up here. I'm getting angry as I speak. So, I'm going to move to another little issue here. That is former Miss California, Carrie Prejean. As many of you may have heard, the former Miss California runner-up in the Miss USA contest. I won't relive that whole mess with Perez Hilton and how what she went through. Because I was on her side. I was on her side. I championed her stance and everything like that. But just last week, a sex tape emerged of Miss Carrie Prejean when she was, apparently she was only 17 years old, and she sent this. It was for her boyfriend. She sent it to her boyfriend. Now, let me say this before I go on. I was 17. I was a lot dumber than her, okay? I did some stupid, stupid things myself. The difference is that I didn't then go on and try to win some national notoriety and speak out for certain issues, knowing that there's evidence out there. I mean, what she should have done up front is say, yes, there are some things out there that I am not ashamed of. Get ahead of it. I am not ashamed of some things I've done. I became a Christian here. I was this here. And then when these things come to light, you've already diffused them. People can ask, you know, as President Bush, he went out ahead and he said, look, I've done some things. I've done this, this, and this. But that's it. You know, that's it. And you have to deal with it. But Barack Obama did it. I snorted cocaine. I smoked dope. I smoke. I drink. And people, oh, it's okay. It's okay, Barack. We understand. So I can understand if she had done that. But to have this stuff looming, knowing it's there, and then try to go out and take, so that's enough. So, but that's not my real outrage today is with Sean Hannity. Okay. Sean Hannity. Sean, you're getting on my nerves, buddy. You're getting on my nerves. Sean Hannity had Carrie Prejean on. She just released a book. And he has her on, and he's hawking her book. And he says, well, we need to deal with this issue. And so they talk about the sex tape. And then he just kind of, oh, yeah, you know, girls will be girls, and I understand, and da-da. But, and then he goes after the people that go after her. I've seen him do the same thing with Miley Cyrus. Well, her father called me. Billy Ray called me, and he says this, and Miley, I just took my girls to see Miley, and oh, it was just a wonderful concert. It's uplifting. It's this. It's this. My goodness, they just had her on TV doing a pole dance. Teenage girl doing a pole dance, simulated pole dance. You know, and so here's the deal. You know, Sean's the same guy when Kobe Bryant was accused of rape, when Michael Jackson was accused of pedophilia, he was all on their case. He just knew they did it. He just knew they did it. And you know what that says to the person, the average African-American person out there? Oh, he's just a racist. He has stereotypes. And you know what? I even believe it. I mean, I even believe he buys the line that you have oversexed black people, or Michael Jackson is a little pedophile because he's weird. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying one way or another. But I do know that nothing was ever proven in either case. In fact, in Kobe Bryant's case, the girl was totally discredited. So, and then you had the Duke alleged rape case. From day one, Sean is on the side of the Duke lacrosse players. Now, I also believe that was bogus from the beginning. But my goodness. Don't sit there on one hand and just jump on this one group of people and then allow another to skate. If it had been, you know, Britney Spears, Madonna, he considers them trash. They're just trash. And yet this young lady has done something, and he's there ready, helping her to push her book, helping her try to gloss over this situation. And listen, I totally forgive Carrie Prejean. I believe she is a believer. I believe she does love the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, you know, she's a typical American Christian girl today. They're everywhere. I mean, she's just a sample of what young Christian women are dealing with today. But we need to hold her to a higher standard than we hold Britney Spears. Britney Spears is lost. Madonna is lost. So a Christian girl, we need to hold to a higher standard. And Carrie should have revealed this up front. Don't let it slip out like this when you've got all these people looking up to you and stuff. That's just wrong. And Sean Hannity is sitting there helping her and covering it up. I tell you, it infuriates me. Because it's for things like this that gives the left great ammunition to go after us, calling us hypocrites. So, listen, we've just got to be consistent. We've got to be consistent. Britney Spears is who she is and what she is, but she's lost. She does not know Christ, okay? I don't expect as much of her. But I do expect more of a young lady that holds herself up as a child of Christ publicly, okay? Because honestly, if we're ever going to win the world over, if we're going to convince the world that we want them on our side, we have got to live and be different, okay? So anyway, that's that. I've really gotten on some little pedestals today, haven't I? next week, we'll try to calm down. But I don't know. There's so much stuff going on these days, people. Oh man, I tell you, just on the way here, if I ever need ammunition, I just have to listen to Glenn Beck for 30 seconds, and I can get fired up. Let me recommend the Glenn Beck Show to you. There's two shows that I can highly recommend. One is Glenn Beck, and the other one is a guy here, at least. They're on at the same time, and that's Neil Bortz. Now, Neil is an agnostic. He's not a believer, but I'll tell you what, Neil tells it like it is. He is a liberated white man. Neil doesn't play that stuff. He will not let anyone get away with anything, okay? Now, I believe Neil needs to get saved, and I believe Neil will end up getting saved. I'm convinced of that. Too many people are praying for him. But as far as truth, Neil tells it like it is, okay? So anyway, let me recommend those to you highly for information and to tell it like it is. And of course, always tune in every week to Eddie Huff on Fresh Black Coffee. And I'll look forward to seeing you next week. Email me at freshblackcoffee@gmail.com. I want to thank my producer, Wendell Neal, and we'll see you next week.